This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning. I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 26th, episode 731, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. It's Girl Power Day, you guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Oh my God, Jennifer, can you believe on the VMAs last night that there was a reunion with Justin Timberlake and NSYNC? Miley Cyrus was all up on the screen twerking it, and then, oh my God, could they have showed more Taylor Swift? Wait, no, this is my last radio job. Sorry. I got a little confused as to what I was supposed to do. Wait,
don't
this
worry,
radio
people, there's
job.
Nothing wrong with your radio.
I know. Wait, no, this one is the one where, oh my God, there was such good racing this past weekend with the Traverse Stakes, the Pacific Classic, the Personal Ensign. What a awesome weekend in horse racing. Is that better? Does that sound more normal?
Phew, I feel better already. You had me worked up there for a second.
Oh my God,
I'm in a different dimension.
I seriously was a little shocked that Justin Timberlake did reunite with NSYNC. I wonder how much they had to pay him, because the guys in NSYNC were very happy to have jobs again, except for Justin, who doesn't need anything. Anyway, we'll move on past that. So we've got an awesome show. Glenn is not here today. That means we're going to have an awesome show. Just kidding, Glenn. We love you. He's a little bit sick, so Jennifer is pulling double duty. Not only are you doing his job with the radio show, you're probably having to take little weenie man chicken soup and everything. Because what is it with guys when they get sick, Jennifer? They turn into complete whiny babies.
Yeah. Exactly. And as everyone knows, we are big fans of Big Bang Theory, and Sheldon is famous for his illnesses and his behavior therein. That is not an exaggeration. I was singing Soft Kitty last night, I swear.
I don't get that joke, but I don't. Is Glenn a total weenie about being sick?
Total. Total and complete weenie when he is sick. He turns into Eeyore, complete with a little bow at the top of his tail.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah, Chad kind of gets that same way, too. You know, for being such tough guys, and they can do this, and, oh, we don't need any help. We can do this, whatever. They get a little bit sick, and it's like the world is going to end. You're right. They turn into Eeyore. So, well, Glenn, we wish you the best. We hope you feel better soon. We're going to try to get through this day without you, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best, Jennifer.
Well, the good part is he's pretty much lost his voice at this point, so he is no longer able to remind me every 3.5 minutes how poorly he feels.
Well, you know what's really bad is that he still has his fingers, because I just got a text message saying that he had better watch it. He still signs the checks. So.
Nice. Hit the
winning
button.
On today's show. Yeah, on today's show, you want to tell everybody?
What's on the show? It's going to be racing, 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 and more racing, because it was an awesome racing weekend. I don't remember having so much fun before Breeders' Cup shows up. It used to be the Triple Crown, then nothing happened, and then it was the Breeders' Cup. Somehow or another, they fit these end-of-summer meets in on television now, and it's kind of fun. And after that, we're going to chit-chat a little bit with Diane Little, who is our once-a-month helpful tips for hunter jumpers. She's going to stop by with some more great advice, and who doesn't need that? And as usual on Monday, we will be rounding out the show with the Wacky World of Horses with Leslie Wiley.
Love it. Love it. Well, daily winning time. Jennifer,
who's first?
You're first.
I'm first. Oh, gosh. My daily winning goes out to Stuart Pittman over there at the Retired Racehorse Training Project. He is an accomplished three-day event rider for many, many years, and he started the Thoroughbred Makeover this year. And he has really taken a page from the other equine makeover projects that they have, one for Mustangs, they have one for quarter horses, which is the Road to the Horse, which have been enormously popular. And he's doing this Thoroughbred Makeover. And most recently, not only are they going to have horses demonstrating typical thoroughbred skills that you see, there's going to be horses that do eventing and dressage and hunter jumper type things. But the event that's going to happen October 5th and 6th at Pimlico Racecourse, they're going to have OTTBs, which have been in training for about 90 days, doing polo, barrel racing, and ranch sorting, complete with a herd of cows. So I cannot
believe. Wow. That's going to be such a cool event. I would love to go to that because it's going to be just total celebration of the thoroughbred. And like you said, they're going to be doing everything, just displaying the breed's amazing ability to do whatever is put in front of them. So, yeah, Stuart Pittman is the man.
Bet.
Yeah. I have two daily winnies. So this one is my first, and I'm going to step outside the box of the horse world because I have to complain. So this is kind of an anti-daily winnie. Jennifer, you like the Batman movies, right? You guys watch Batman.
Yes, Batman's pretty fun. Yeah, good for popcorn.
And you know I'm in love with the new Superman. So Superman's kind of more my hero, right?
Yeah.
So there's a new movie coming out. It's going to be in like 2015. So we've got like July 17th, 2015 is when it's going to be released. And it is the Batman/Superman movie. Batman and Superman meet. Okay. And Henry Cavill, who it was Superman, is going to reprise his role. Thank goodness. Ooh, yummy. He is going to be Superman. Guess who's going to be Batman? Are you freaking kidding me? Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. Ben Affleck. He's going to be Batman. He's 41 right now. He's going to be like 43, 44 when this actually comes out. I don't know what they're going for here, but I can't imagine Ben Affleck as a caped crusader. I don't get it. I'm going to put it out there right now.
Yeah. I think I know where they're going with this. You know that It's going to be set in an old folks' home in Miami, Florida. That's what it
that's
is.
That's not going to be a good movie. That's not going to be a good movie, sadly. So anyway, that's my anti-Daily Winnie. So there you go. My next Daily Winnie, go. Just so you guys know, Whiny Baby Glenn is running the sound today, so he may be a little slow. Okay. We talked about the horse racing, Jennifer. It was such a great weekend for horse racing, and this means one thing. This means I watched way too much TVG, okay, because that was the one who was playing all the races live, and TVG sometimes plays live races in between the races that you're watching. So I'm watching for the Traverse Stakes on Saturday, and I kept seeing all these different races. Well, at Emerald Downs, I think it was the 7th race, I had to turn the TV off. We're going to get to Emerald Down 8th race, Del Mar race. But I watched Emerald Downs way too long because they kept showing it in between any other race I was watching. And I fell in love, Jennifer. I fell in love.
Uh-oh. This is bad.
You know, there's the website Thoroughbred Connect. which is part of the Jockey Club. And on Thoroughbred Connect, you can go to Thoroughbred Connect. You create your own little, you know, kind of information about yourself and your own little page. And you can write down which Thoroughbreds you already have in your care. And then there's a little section for horse Thoroughbreds that need care. And then there's a section for the Thoroughbreds that you want to provide care for. So say I happen to see this big, giant, black, gorgeous Thoroughbred at Emerald Downs in the seventh race whose name was on the shady side. Well, I can go to Thoroughbred Connect. This is simply hypothetical, Jennifer, of course. I can go to Thoroughbred Connect and I can type in on the shady side and it'll pop him up into my categories of horses that I would like to take when they're done racing. This has not worked for me yet, seeing that the horses on my list are Zimyatta, Royal Delta, a couple other horses that Sarbonne was on there and I didn't get to keep him. So on the shady side is now one of my new horses. Chad look at him. I'm like, oh my God, look at this horse, babe. Look at this horse. He's so pretty. He's so pretty. So if you guys are interested, ever you watch TVG and you like, oh my God, that horse is amazing, or you're at the horse race or you're wherever and you see a horse that you want to know more about, or you think, I want that one. I want that one, because that's how I buy horses, is I see them and I go, I want that one.
I want that one.
He's pretty. I want that one. Go to Thoroughbred Connect. Now, as we're watching the seventh race, and Emerald Downs on the shady side is walking to the post, Chad and I are with anticipation watching this race, and we're thinking, okay, he's like, is he going to win? And I'm like, no, honey, he's going to come in dead last. He's going to come in dead last for two reasons. One, because I want him. And number two, because I think he's beautiful and he should win. So that means he's going to come in dead last. And to me, that means if they come in dead last, they'll be retired sooner rather than later. And true to form, the horse that I thought was the prettiest, Jennifer, goes on and comes in, I mean, dead last. Like, the horses were already back at the barn by the time he came underneath the wire. So we're taking on the shady side, maybe retired soon, and hopefully they go check Thoroughbred Connect.
Now, on Thoroughbred Connect, you create your profile, your Jamie Young Thoroughbred Connect. Is there a limit to the number of horses you're allowed to put in there that you want?
No, I haven't seen a limit yet, but one day somebody's actually going to call me and I'm going to have to go, oh crap. let me see. Let's see. Do I have a stall? Okay. Husband, I need to get this other horse, and then the arrangements begin. So at some point, somebody is going to go on there and actually come through. So I only put the ones that I'm serious, kind of more serious about. Like, yes, I would take Zimyatta in a second. I would make a stall for her. Nobody has called me about her, though, so I have to kind of spread my fingers a little bit more across the country than just pointing to the billion-dollar horses in Kentucky. So anyway, if the owners of On the Shady Side go on to the internet and they think, well, let's go ahead and put him on there and see what comes up, my name pops up into their database saying, this person wants it. So there are chances that it could happen. So we'll see.
On the shady side, all one word.
All
and where
one
was
word.
He racing
all
at? Emerald Downs?
He was racing at Emerald Downs. He's very pretty. So I don't know which race it was. Well, while you're Googling him, we've got to cover some of the other races this weekend. Google him. He's so pretty. Being a great weekend, we'll talk about the Travers first, because the Travers was one of those races. We all actually made our picks on Friday. I do believe that one of us did pick the winner. Do you remember who that was, Jennifer?
Who my pick was?
No. Do you remember who chose the winner? There was one of us that actually picked the winner of the race. Do you remember who that was?
That was you, because it wasn't Glenn.
It was me.
That was an easy question, because I didn't remember who you picked, but I know Glenn didn't, so it had to be you.
I said on Friday, Dwayne Lucas is so due because he hasn't had a great history in the Traverse Stakes and will take charge at 9-1, won the Saturday's $1 million Traverse Stakes. So here's the audio from the Traverse Stakes on Saturday. I can hear it coming.
And they're off in the Travers. It was a good start for Romance down toward the inside. Moreno's coming up from mid-pack now and up and after the lead. Verrazano forwardly placed, and Johnny Velasquez immediately guides him out of harm's way to the outside under the line the first time. And the front runner here is a long shot. It is Moreno out there by a length. Romance down on the inside, runs along in second. Verrazano just off the lead on the outside, running along in third. Orb is fourth, and in between horses will take charge, is fifth under a very easy pace in the early going here. And then it's Golden Stole. He's only about seven lengths from the lead, followed by Transparent. Palace Malice is only one horse beaten, and that is War Dancer. The opening quarter mile was 24 2/5 seconds. So Moreno out there on a 2.5 length lead. 30-1, and the leader down the backstretch. Verrazano continues on the outside of Romance. Up the backstretch after a 48-4 opening half mile. The pace is slow to develop. We'll take charge, and Orb, the Derby winner. Orb is now about 5.5 lengths from the lead. And then it's Golden Soul toward the inside, running along in sixth. Palace Malice, the Belmont winners near the back of the pack today. And just in between horses there goes Transparent, and another 3-to-War Dancer into the far turn. Moreno still there with a half mile to go. Three quarters up in 13-2. Verrazano on the outside. Orb will try to make his run through down toward the rail. Romance is in between horses now with less than 3 furlongs to go. Will take charges, only 3.5 lengths from the lead. Palace Malice is starting to get in the way as the field comes to the quarter pole. Moreno and Orb is trying to come through on his inside. The field turns for home. Moreno wide off the turn, but he's still in front. Orb is charging at him now. And at the top of the stretch, it is Orb down toward the rail. Moreno finding out on the outside. Romance is third. Will take charges fourth. Moreno and Orb head-to-head. Palace Malice coming on the scene late. And then it's Will Take Charge. Moreno and Orb as they come down to the finish. Will Take Charge with the late surge. Will Take Charge is surging. And it's a photo finish. It's too close to call. Will Take Charge with a dramatic lunge at the end. And did he nail the long shot front runner Moreno? It was very close. And close for third as well between Palace Malice and Orb. A thriller in the Travers.
It was unbelievable. Will Take Charge, Jennifer, I mean, you thought was at the back, wasn't even a threat. And coming down that home stretch, man, just kicked it in. And Orb actually finished in third place. A lot of jockey shakeup because Joel Rosario fractured his left foot on Friday. And he was supposed to be riding Orb. He was also supposed to ride Game On Dude later on. Unbelievable race. Now, the obviously Will Take Charge won the race. Moreno, who was a front runner and was in the front the entire time, just was beat as Will Take Charge just surged up past him, and it was so close. It was one of those head bobbing, like who was in which part of what stride was going to determine the winner, and it happened to be Will Take Charge. It was an unbelievable upset. It was a really good race. Did you guys watch it?
Will Take Charge has bigger nostrils. That's what made him win. That's all.
Pretty much, yeah.
I felt a little bit bad for Moreno, though. He stayed in the front the whole way. I wanted him to win.
I know. Well, I'm glad he did not. But it was definitely an exciting win, one that I predicted, if you recall, on Friday. So there you go, Glenn. Suck it. All right. Now, the Pacific Classic also took place this past weekend, and Game On Dude, who has been running for so long and is such a storied career, was the $1 million TVG Pacific Classic, and it was at Del Mar, and I guess there was some drama between the poly track and whether Game On Dude could run on the poly track. Martin Garcia rode him. Joel Rosario, again, was supposed to be on him, but, of course, he broke his foot. So this is a win and you're in challenge race for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So if you win this race, you are guaranteed to get in to the Breeders' Cup. So let's listen to this race is
crazy. Okay, awesome. Just, this is Game On, Dude, in the Pacific Classic.
Dollar TVG Pacific Classic. There's the roar from the Del Mar crowd. They sent on their way, holding Glory out of spot of trouble after the start. The long shot endorsement sets off for the lead. Game On, Dude. Beautiful, though. Game On, Dude. Crossing over. Lovely now in the blue cap, and he'll go to the front. Meanwhile, Delegations racing wide, wide out. Delegations halfway out in the track here. Doesn't appear to be lugging out. That looks like it was intentional, but he certainly went wide early. He's now dropping in. Blue Skies and Rainbows in fourth, then Byrama holding Glory. Farage has settled down in the seventh spot, six off them. The pace very honest early on. You Know I Know scrapes the paint. Doulahan's giving them 8 length start. On the outside, Geronimo. Then we come back to Richard's Kid, who's now back second last, and Kettlecorn is last. 12 lengths would cover the lot. On to the backstretch they go, and Game On, Dude. Nice and relaxed. Long rain out here. Game On, Dude got it all his own way. He leads a length and a quarter. Delegation is tracking from second. Behind that is Endorsement and Blue Skies and Rainbows. Two long shots, third and fourth. Here's the filly Byrama in the fifth spot, been followed by Farage. Geronimo is going for an early run. He's five wide, but Geronimo now moving up third. In comes Kettlecorn, only six off the lead now. Holding Glory, going to try to find room at the rail. You Know I Know, Doulahan is last. Doulahan last with 3/8 of a mile to go. On the outside, Richard's Kid. They are coming to the quarter pole, and Game On, Dude set sail for home. And it's Game On, Dude being confidently ridden. He's clear by 3 big lengths at the top of the lane in the Pacific Classic. And it's all Game On, Dude. Delegation, Geronimo behind that. Richard's Kid running on late. But this is total domination. We are looking at a walkover. Game On, Dude. Martin Garcia and Bob Baffert romp in the Pacific Classic. Four-way photo for second. Kettlecorn, You Know I Know. Holding Glory ran a big one at the rail. And
unbelievable, dude. He was 8.5 lengths ahead of him. And this is not just your regular run-of-the-mill cheap racehorses. This is like the top of the top right now. And 8.5 lengths, he beats everybody. Game On, Dude. The most dominant performance of his entire career. Now, Jennifer, I was thinking you might recognize a couple names that were in the background. We've talked about one particular horse a lot, and that, of course, is Kettlecorn.
Awesome. I know, that was awesome that he came in. Yeah, cool.
It's just such a great racehorse name. I love it when he wins a race, they'll say, Kettlecorn sticks to the rail. Victory. That's
Sweet
a lot of fun
for
to play
Kettlecorn.
With.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of
and then
there.
How awesome is the racehorse named Blue Skies and Rainbows? It
That's
makes me think
syllables.
somebody's 3-year-old daughter named it. Like, what would you like to name the horse? Blue Skies and Rainbows and Puppies and Kittens. Well, that's too long, so we'll just do Blue Skies and Rainbows. It is the name of a brony. Good call. But Doulahan, obviously, retire him already. Richard's Kid, still in there. Another name that I really liked was Geronimo. That was an awesome, that's an awesome racehorse name. How's that never been taken, you know?
Yeah, you got to wonder about that one. Hey, I got a question. This is a generic racehorse question for you.
Okay.
The horses that like to break and get in the front of the race, those are called speed horses? Is that what that's called? They have a term for them?
Speed horses would be horses that want to get out and go as fast as they can. And usually speed horses are... they're in the race for a reason, and the owners or the trainers will be like, you know, let's increase the time. That makes sense. Like, let's tire out Game On, Dude. Yeah, because we want him to chase the speed horse. And then a lot of times they'll have another horse in the same barn that's in that race that they'll try to kind of sit in the back and then go ahead of the speed horse once they get tired because the race is too long. So that horse should tip.
Why would anybody want to own a speed horse? Because they never freaking win.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. speed horses, you need to put them in their own, their races. So like a speed horse would do great in a 5 or 6 furlong race as opposed to a mile and a quarter. And sometimes they do finish, you know, it just depends on if you're able to rate them, if the rider's able to rate them, and then they're not going for the speed. Does that make sense? Put them in a shorter race, they'll blow everything.
Really a sprinter in disguise.
Yes, I would assume that. Now, this is all, you know, I've never sat on a speed horse. Most of my horses are pretty slow.
I've sat on a speed horse, but it was because the horse's butt got shocked by an electric fence that I walked past.
See? There you go. That'll create.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So
got it. So another race that happened this past weekend is she's just racing royalty at this point, Royal Delta. She ran in the Personal Enzyme last year and ran second place. So she was back in the Personal Enzyme this year to claim, basically, she's had such a dominant year. We wanted to see what they wanted to see what she would do in the Personal Enzyme again this year. So here's the race.
And they're off. Royal Delta, Mike Smith is sending her. On Fire Baby comes through on her inside. So those two matching strides into the clubhouse turn. Authenticity is third. Open Water and centering. So it's On Fire Baby with the lead. Royal Delta right alongside. And a break of another 4 to Authenticity, another 5 to Open Water, another 2.5 back to centering. Turning into the backstretch run after a 23-2 opening quarter mile. And there goes Royal Delta now to assume the lead. Royal Delta in charge here under the feathery touch of Mike Smith. She leads by a length and a half. On Fire Baby led round the first turn. 3 lengths back, Authenticity is 5.5 lengths from Royal Delta now. Then there's a huge chasm back to the other two, Open Waterman centering. The half is up in 46.3 seconds. Taxing fractions for the front runner here. Royal Delta as they move into the far turn. Still clear by a length. And now Authenticity is making her move. And there she goes now, second on the outside. On Fire Baby is tailed off on the third. It's another 10 back to Open Waterman centering. They're midway around the far turn. Royal Delta's run 3/4. In 1:10.3, and leads by 2 as they approach the quarter pole. Authenticity has been in a drive, but is still second as the field turns for home. Farther back, it's On Fire Baby third. Centering just starting to get underway, but it comes wide off the turn. 3/16 out now. Mike Smith says go with Royal Delta, and she is going indeed. Going to open up a 5-length lead here. And Authenticity runs in second as they come down to the finish. Here is a champion on display. Royal Delta, geared down in the final yards of the Personal Ensign, and adds another grade one to a stellar resume.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it was a kind of embarrassing, really. If you did, Jennifer, I don't know if you got to see it, but Royal Delta, it wasn't even a race. She's like just so much better than everybody else out there. She's the only horse that didn't have a spot of dirt on her. Maybe she had a little on her belly. That was it. Did not have a spot of dirt coming around there, totally clean, led wire to wire. I mean, they said that she had an early tussle with On Fire Baby. Whatever, man. There was nobody that even challenged her. She was just getting her racing legs underneath her. It was unreal. And so she actually paid $3.10. So she was the heavy favorite going into the personal. I call it Personal Enzyme. They call it Personal Enzyme. Now, before we get to our guest, we've got Diane Little, who's going to join us here and talk about Hunter Jumpers and give us some jumping tips. But we've got to cover this race, which has actually been going around on Facebook, the Del Mar 10th race. It was on Saturday. I swear I turned off Del Mar like in the 9th race. I'm so bummed that I missed this live. When you watch TVG for like hours, you see all sorts of crazy stuff. Now, I've never seen anything like this. The audio doesn't quite do it justice, but I'm going to play the audio and then I'll explain what happened. Let's just say that the race was canceled. It was a no contest. It was canceled. And you know it's bad because they had to refund. Del Mar officials reported that they refunded $1 million about $1,002,000 were refunded on just this race alone, because they had to refund on win, play, show, exacta, quinella, trifecta, supervecta, super high five. So this cost them a lot of money. So here is the announcer describing the race.
And away they go. Ooh, very awkwardly, as cruel spirits. Something happened. In fact, there's only a few horses come out the gate, so this is probably going to be a false start out there. All the riders pulling their horses up. Something happened at the start. We couldn't quite see all the gates to know exactly what happened. But the assistant starters are hanging on to the horses, so obviously something amiss at the start. We'll get back to you as soon as we know the details. Here is the actual start. So as you would have seen there, number six, Indian Spirit, came out the gate and broke to the left. None of the other runners could break. And please note, under California Horse Racing Board rules, this race has been declared a no contest. The 10th race will be cancelled. The 10th race listed as a no contest. It is cancelled, as you could see at the start. Number of horses did not break on even terms, so under the rules, this race is declared a no contest. It is cancelled.
It's canceled, and what really, when you're watching it, you know, they always have the camera on the starting gate, and all of a sudden, the sixth horse, you see it go straight up in the air and break out of the gate. At that same time, you see the jockey actually flip up and over the horse and get drug. When do you see a jockey's foot get stuck in a stirrup? It got drug from post six all the way to post one. As he's getting drug, other horses are starting to break out of the gate. Some of them were rearing and jumping forward as this poor jockey is up underneath. His face is right next to the front gates where these horses are trying to lunge out. If you can find this, we should post this. Glenn, if you can post this on our Facebook page. It was so frightening. Now, of course, two or three idiots decided to go ahead and run the race, a couple that did get out, and you see them streaking around the track, and they're like, we did it, we got out. And, of course, the race is going to be canceled, so they ran the horses when they really didn't need to. But the horses, the starter actually never hit the button to open the gates. So the ones that did get out broke through their gates, because the sixth horse broke through his gate. It was crazy. And there's outriders galloping everywhere. There's starters that are holding on the horse bridles, getting dragged down the track. It's interesting and it's entertaining. You can find that on our Horses in the Morning page, Facebook. Go check it out. If you can't find it there, if you're listening way late, just go to Del Mar Gate Mishap. if you just Google that, you'll find it.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine before they were starting? It was crazy. Before they were starting gates, what it must have been like. I wanted to go back to the tape where they had this big long rubber band stretched across the track. That just makes the whole race so much more exciting.
I'm sure that jockey who was on the ground, let's see, what was his name? I'm sure he would have appreciated it. His name was Patrick Valenzuela. That guy, he's got gray hair now. I mean, that was so scary. But apparently, he was totally unhurt. Not one horse or rider got hurt in this whole drama. So it's definitely worth a watch. Before we get to our first guest, Jennifer, just want to tell you guys about Omega Alpha. Such a fantastic supplement company. And last weekend, if you recall, Jennifer, I was taking Edward out for his first ever cross country school with me. Do you recall?
Did it have any resemblance at all to the mishap we were just speaking of?
It could have. Because
that's what I was worried about.
We're in the forest. He's never been in the forest. We're up in Flagstaff at Coconino. We go just up the street to desert. And he's been to Coconino once. He was a complete nightmare, crazy horse. I was about 9.5 months pregnant at that point, so I wasn't riding him. But I felt so sorry for my friend who said she would take the ride. So I'm like, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to take that behavior. So I, thanks to Omega Alpha, have equine chill. And I thought, well, let me give him the equine chill. It worked for Jet forever ago when he was starting to event. And just to see if I could get him to not kill me when I got there. So you give the equine chill about an hour before you're going to do your event. So I gave him the equine chill the second I got there at the schooling grounds. Oh, my gosh. My horse was perfect. He was focused. He was attentive. He didn't freak out. He didn't spook one time at anything. Now, definitely, it did not give him bravery because he did stop at a bunch of stuff. So equine chill is not going to make your horse jump, but it will make your horse calm down enough to think about what he's doing. So it just kind of took the whole edge off of him. I was able to, for the first time in I don't know how long, because Jet doesn't tie, to tie my horse to the trailer and untack him and tack him up. It was awesome to have that kind of just a more focused horse. And I really think that the last time when he was out, when he didn't have equine chill versus this time, totally different horse. And I just really want you guys to know it. Equine Chill, Omega Alpha. You can go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com to find out more.
There you go. If you need your horse to calm down, there you go.
Yeah. They call it Equine Chill for a reason. And by the way, you can't compete with it. It's all herbal. It's non-testable. It's totally legal. So Equine Chill, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Now, Jennifer, please introduce our first guest.
Next up here, we have Diane Little, who stops by once a month with some great helpful hints for hunter-jumper riders, and we love the fact that she does that. She is from Piece by Piece Farm, and welcome to the show, Diane. Are you here, Diane? Where's Diane? Are you here, Diane?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you now. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
I've been following your Facebook page, and you guys have had a very busy summer over at Piece by Piece Farm.
We have. It's been great, though. I have a wonderful, wonderful group of students, and we've been really busy. Month of August was crazy because we went to Pony Finals in Kentucky, and then a week later went to Culpeper in Virginia. So, you know, we've been traveling and having fun. It's been great. A lot of the kids, it's their first day of school, so I think they're a little bummed out. But it's been quite a good season.
So what is the range of ages for your students? Do you have mostly kids, mostly adults, a little of each?
I have a good mix. My youngest student is 4. And then I teach my mom, actually, is my best student. And she won't get mad at me for saying it. She's 56. So, I mean, I have quite a range. I have a bunch of, you know, seniors in high school, and a couple kids that are in college. So we have a pretty wide range of ages.
So when you go to a horse show, you never get a break because you've got kids in the itsy bitsy classes, you've got kids in the junior classes, you've got students in the adult classes. It's nonstop for you.
It is nonstop. Yeah, we're in the short syrup ring and the jumper ring and then running back over to the children's hunter ring. So it keeps you nice and busy.
Wow. No wonder you have so much good advice for us, because you've done it all.
You know, I try. You know, you learn as you go, I have to say. Every single week you learn something new about these animals.
Well, that right by itself is sage advice. What sage advice and helpful tip are you going to enlighten us with us today?
You know, I wanted to talk about actually the process of looking for a new horse, of either whether it be leasing or purchasing. I have a whole bunch of kids that just are finishing a lease and are looking for something new. I have a couple kids looking for new horses, and then myself just sold my horse, so I'm actually in the process of looking for a new horse. So I figured it was on my mind, so I figured maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Who doesn't love to talk about horse shopping? Go for it.
Yeah, exactly, horse shopping. So, you know, I think one of the most important things, there's three things that I think are really important when you're going through this process. I think number one, you kind of have to sit down and really think about, you know, there's three things that I really think you have to decide on, and that is discipline, whether you want to be a jumper, whether you want to do hunter, whether you want to be an eventer, whether you want to just do trail rides, it doesn't matter. Just really kind of pinpointing what discipline you're looking for. I think size is important. I think that's something that people have to think about, what's going to fit them best. And then I also think amount of experience, you know. Am I okay with buying a 5-year-old? Am I okay with buying a 18-year-old? You know, I think those are the three things that you really have to keep in mind. I also think people need to come up with a budget. I think that's extremely important. I think that's difficult sometimes. But come up with a budget so that you have, you know, something to guide you. And then lastly, I think it is critical that you bring your trainer along with you when you're doing this shopping. Even myself, and as you guys know, I'm a professional, I do not do horse shopping for myself. I have my trainer horse shop for me. I think that that's really important because then your emotions aren't involved and you can kind of take a step back and have somebody really look at the big picture for you.
So when you help your students with horse shopping, do you have a tendency, like the house hunters on HGTV, they show up at three different houses and have to make a decision. Do you have a tendency to line up a certain number of prospects for that student to take a closer look at, or is it more of a case-by-case, one-at-a-time process for you?
You know, that really depends on kind of the situation. Sometimes I bring my students to horse shows to look at horses, and then they might get to sit on 10 in a weekend, you know. Mm-hmm. Other times, you know, you do it so that they're in school, they're busy, you know, hey, I found something that's interesting, let's go take a look. So I think it really depends on the situation. I think it depends on whether or not these buyers are, you know, like, we want to get this done within the next 2 weeks, or it's like, let's start this process in the next 3 months. I want something new. So that varies, but I have to say I do like to put a lot of thought into what I take them to see. You know, I don't tend to go to horses that I'm kind of on the fence about. If I'm taking them to see something, I feel like it absolutely could be something that they could bring to the barn and be a great match for them.
Mm-hmm. So is the process much different for someone whose goal is to lease versus purchase, or is it a similar process, or there's anything different about it?
I do. I think that there's a little bit less of that stress factor, you know. Okay, if this doesn't work out well within a year, I get to give it back. But I think that leasing really comes into play with the younger kids more than the older kids. That's where I really focus my leasing, with the ponies and whatnot. They're growing. Their talent is going to change dramatically year to year. So, you know, what I do with my young kids is I'm looking for a pony that fits them at this moment right now. You know, it has to be perfect for them today. For my older kids, I might be looking for a horse that, you know, give us 6 months to a year and boom, you're going to have the horse you want, because I know where their direction is. I know that they have the talent to work with, you know, that kind of a prospect. So I would say that, you know, leasing, it's not necessarily different. I think that I lease because I know I need something for that person perfect for it now. And I buy because I know that we can spend time and grow with that horse.
I got to tell you, listening to you, Diane, you sure have a lot more, I'm trying to think of the word. You definitely have more patience, but you also have more intelligence when it comes to it, because I get way too emotional. And I get almost emotional when I'm buying horses for other people too. And when I take a kid to see a horse, I sit on the horse first, of course, and I'm like, okay, I really like this horse. Do I like it for me or do I like it for them? And I really have to separate myself from this horse for them versus this horse for me. Do you ever find that you have that problem when you're getting a horse for somebody else?
Yes, that is difficult. I think that the trainers have just as much anxiety sometimes about these purchases as the buyers, because we do not want our clients to buy a horse or a pony and it not work out for them. You know, I really, really want when we're finished with this process, it to be the right horse, them to be successful in competition, their goals to be met. So that can be tough, you know, for the trainers as well to be able to be, you know, sure about these purchases and knowing that, that it's going to be the right one. And yes, absolutely, you know, I sit on these horses as well, and I'm like, oh, I really like this. Oh, it feels good. But, you know, my note to self always is like, yeah, but if this horse is even the least bit strong for me, imagine what it's going to be for my 13-year-old. Or, you know, this one is really bulging right on me. Well, maybe that's too much for them to handle. So I do have to take that step back and really look at it, try to look at it from their perspective as well as mine.
Okay, Diane, now this is truth or consequences time. And I know this has happened to me. You go and you're horse shopping with a client. The client finds a horse that they kind of like. They make the purchase, and you end up with the horse because they didn't like it as much as they thought they did, and you like it way more than you thought you did, and it ends up your horse.
Like you ended up buying it from them?
I ended up buying the horse from the student.
Okay.
That hasn't happened to me.
That has never happened to me either, Jennifer. Way to go.
That has not yet happened to me. I have taken ponies from my students that they've grown out of them, and I've used those ponies for like some of my younger kids and things like that to try to kind of help the process between that kid moving to a horse and finding the right rider for the pony. So I have done things like that, but I have never actually purchased the horse from my client.
Now, Jennifer, does something like that happen because the horse didn't work out and you feel responsible? I know that when I find a horse for somebody, I really hope it works out, because if not, if they go to that show and they get bucked off, that's a direct reflection on me, you know, and my job finding them this horse. So I almost feel like I have more invested when I find somebody than when they come to me with their horse already in tow.
I
bought it because I really wanted the horse. I didn't want somebody else to have him.
Yeah. And Diane, what'd you say?
I absolutely agree with that. You feel a sense of responsibility. If you were the one that you know, aided the process and told them that this was going to be the right match, you feel a very large amount of responsibility for their success. Now, these are still animals, and, you know, just because they have a couple bad shows doesn't mean it was the wrong decision by any means. But, you know, when I am the one that found the horse, when I'm the one that, you know, was part of that process of going ahead with the purchase, I definitely feel like it is my responsibility to make it work for them. And also, if for some reason it doesn't work, I always feel like it's my responsibility to find, you know, another home for that animal or find a way that they could trade. You know, I feel like once you become part of that process, you kind of stay in that process.
And that, my friend, is why we have you on the show, because you are actually somebody who is accountable to their clients and does a good job. And I like talking to you about that because it makes me feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that just want to make some money. And that just want to earn a dime buying or selling a horse. And, you know, listening to you describe your process, I'm sure, Jennifer, resonates with you too. That's exactly how I do it. I feel responsible. I feel like I want the best to happen for these people. I want them to have a lifelong happiness. I don't want them to get too much horse and to get, you know, discouraged. And I don't want them to get not enough horse and feel like we need to upgrade again, that kind of stuff. So, Diane, I like the way you go through it, and I do appreciate that. And let's see, if we were to sum this up and wrap it up in one tidy little bow, what would you say the most important thing about buying a horse or horse shopping is to your clients?
That's a good one. I would say that the most important thing is that you have a trainer that you trust and respect, and you bring them along with you, and you really help someone guide you through the process so that your emotions don't get too involved and you can have that person really help you, you know, take a step back so you can find that perfect match for you at that moment.
I think that's so incredibly important to take somebody with you who knows, who kind of speaks the language, and you can see somebody lying to you about a mile away, just like I can. Now, the one thing that never works, Diane, that never works, and Jennifer, I'm sure you've seen this too, is I tell all the girls when I'm taking them, like I just took one of my students to the track to go see a horse that she wanted to train her own, and she's a good rider, and so I thought we could do it together. And I said, whatever you do, Sarah, don't look at the horse's face, because all thoroughbreds are pretty. And no matter what, you're going to fall in love with it, and you're 16 years old, and whatever we see, you're going to think, I can fix it, because that's what girls do. And it's like, boys, I can fix it, and he's so good looking. And they do the same with horses, and I'm definitely guilty. So I say, Sarah, don't look at his face. We got to look at his body and kind of his attitude and his demeanor before we even think about this. Well, she got to the barn 5 minutes before I did. I go into they're like, oh, he's in the fourth stall. And I walk in the stall, and there is Sarah. She's got his face in her hands, and she's stroking his nose, and she's kissing him. I'm like, that's it.
You're done.
We're toast. We're toast. I was like, no, she's had the horse ever since. She took him home that day. Like, they went back and got the trailer that day. He was actually a really sweet horse. I mean, how many horses on the track can you sit there and stroke their nose? Not very many. So he's actually quite an awesome horse. But I was like, oh, we're done. I'm like, we might as well just go get the trailer now. She's in love.
It's true. I mean, it's very, very, very true. You know, it's so easy to get, you know, fall in love so fast, especially when you're dealing with, you know, somebody a little bit younger. So I've definitely been there where, you know, it's just, they're just so pretty. The kids are like, they're beautiful. And you know, you're like, I know they're beautiful, but let's just make sure that they can do the job that you need them to do as well.
Exactly. Well, Diane, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you again next month with your next jumping tip of the month.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye. Jennifer, that was awesome. Now, see, have you ever been guilty? Oh, pet their nose and take them home? Yeah. Yes, there was a time where I had a bad case of pet their nose and take them home. Yes. I'm pretty sure your husband just did that, didn't he? You've got one in the backyard right now.
We have one of those in the backyard. See, what it is we're both going through our second childhood now, because I grew out of pet their nose and take them home. And that was a good thing, because when you're a professional, that's a good thing. But see, now that I am no longer a professional equestrian, I have fallen back on old habits. And as you just so well pointed out, we now have PT Scooter in the backyard.
Pet their nose and take them home. Gotcha.
Pet their nose and take them home. Yeah.
Let's hear from one of our sponsors. This is Equisketch, and we appreciate them being a part of the show. And then straight out of that, we're going to hear Campfire by Jared Rogerson. Now, this is the song Jared Rogerson wrote with his wife as they were sitting by a campfire on a pack trip. It's so romantic. Campfire by Jared Rogerson.
Glenn the Geek here. The life of horse person is hard enough, and we all hate doing the required paperwork, and unfortunately many of us never get around to it, and it just piles up on our desk. That is about to change thanks to the Equisketch Records app for your iPhone or iPad. My wife and I use it to track our horses, and we absolutely love this thing. Equisketch Records is the most thorough and complete equestrian records app on the market today. We love this app because you can track your farrier work, your dental, your coggins, medicines, worming, and so much more. And you can get reminders on your device when all of these things are due. You'll never forget a worming or shots or farrier visit again. But it not only tracks your horse, you can also manage your horse shows, including individual events. You can manage riders, including lessons and memberships, and so much more. And you can sync it between your iPhone and your iPad, and all of this for the price of a couple of cups of coffee from Starbucks. Search for Equisketch Records in the iOS App Store or go to equisketch.com. That's EQUISKETCH.com. Equisketch.com.
lighter and some gasoline. Get a little steel wool and a 9-volt battery. There's 100 different ways to make that blue, orange, red, and yellow. Then build it up as warm and bright as a couple million candles. Campfire! Mother Nature light a campfire. Means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Marshmallow, brown as your summer skin, one lucky fellow that she ended up here with. We can stare at the embers and sit real close like this. Do you feel that burning in your heart and in your sins? Campfire, Mother Nature light a campfire. Means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Like a flame, it's strong enough to start in the rain. And when that hard wind blows, the spark of true love grows and just burns hotter and hotter. Campfire, Mother Nature light a campfire. It means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way you perfume.
And that is Jared Rogerson, Campfire, here on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And Glenn the Geek is out today. You are stuck here with, it's an estrogen-only zone because we had Diane Little. And now we're going to talk to, in a few minutes, Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation, getting the Wacky World of Horses report. And, of course, I've got Jennifer. Coach Jen is on with me as well. Say hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
There you go. Now, before we get to Leslie, Glenn loves these lists that, you know, he does these lists on Wednesdays. Well, he stuck this one in, and I'm going to cover it real quick because it is a survey that was done on the United States and what people thought was kind of going on in each one of the states. Like Georgia, my home state, was voted nicest people.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Aww. Isn't that sweet? I'm Georgia people.
Calm.
They say we're the nicest. We won the nicest in the whole entire country. So there you go. Now, the ugliest people, Jennifer, the ugliest people, and we can bring Leslie on too for this. Leslie, hey, Leslie, how are you?
Hey.
Get her on.
Thanks for bringing me in for the ugliest people conversation.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
You get to guess. Where do you think the ugliest people were voted?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea.
It's probably good you don't answer that. You might have readers from there. The ugliest people were right next to the nicest people. The ugliest were voted Alabama. Alabama. Now, it continues to the west because then just west of that in Mississippi. Do you want to guess what they were? Mississippi was voted the dumbest. The dumbest people. And, of course, you know, these are. This is not what we came up with. This is the BusinessInsider.com came up with this. And then just to the west of that in Louisiana, they were voted the drunkest. Of course. That was probably not far off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's called Bourbon Street, people. They're the drunkest. The least favorite state was voted Texas. That was also the state that people voted most wanting to kick out of the United States was also Texas. I'm sure a lot of Texas people voted that as well. Now, the best scenery in the entire country, can you guess the state that had the best scenery?
Hawaii?
You would say actually won that one best vacation spot, and who can argue with that?
Right.
Best scenery went to Colorado. Went to
Colorado.
Which I think Arizona has some pretty darn good scenery up in the northern part of the state. Worst scenery? Anybody want to make a guess? What is just the most boring state in the entire country?
I'm gonna weigh in on this one. Yeah,
it's
I've been there.
Only corn.
Yeah,
Kansas. Kansas was the winner. Kansas is the most boring state. It was called the worst scenery. Most overrated went to California, and also the worst food went to Alaska. The New York did take up a whole bunch of them, and these are just the winners, you guys, because each state was voted something, because the rudest people went to New York, the best food went to New York, the most arrogant people went to New York, the best four sports fans went to New York, and also the worst sports fans went to New York as well. So congratulations to them. They really nailed a whole bunch of the categories. So let's see. Leslie, what has been going on horsenation.com?
Well, speaking of lists, we are a big fan of lists at Horse Nation. We are posting them, making them up, not quite as scientifically as the Business Insider list, but we make them up, and we post them all the time. And so we had several fun lists this past week. Let's say, I think maybe my favorite list of last week was 17 things we could all learn from cowboys. Cowboys are very wise. They have much wisdom to impart to the rest of us. So let me read a few of those cowboy nuggets of wisdom for you. Don't squat with your spurs on.
Yeah.
Pretty
who hasn't learned that the hard way?
If you're riding a high horse, there ain't no way to get down off it gracefully. Pretty true.
Oh, very true.
Let's see. Never kick a fresh turd on a hot day. Important. good to know.
That is cowboy wisdom right there.
Definitely. If you climb in the saddle, be ready for the ride.
Yep.
Speak your mind, but ride a fast horse.
Amen.
I like that one. Don't go using your spurs unless you mean it.
Yep.
If you ain't making this, you're eating it.
Yeah, no, I really like that one. It's kind of like in every work environment, there's always the a-hole, right? There's always one person who's, like, super annoying. And if there's not that person in your office, you're probably that person. You know what I mean? Like, you're that guy.
Right.
So if you ain't making dust, you're eating it. That's so true.
So true. I like this one. It's easier to ride a horse in the direction that it's going. Real true. This one is, this one goes out to Glenn, and with his new, is it a pony, a miniature horse? His little horse.
It's a pony, yeah.
His pony. Never give your horse more attention than your wife unless you like sleeping in the barn.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I loved these. And then there were a couple that that didn't really have anything to do with horses, but I had to throw them anyway, because I just, they're personal favorites of mine. Never miss a good chance to shut up. That's the one I could take to heart more often.
We all could.
And life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. That one's from John Wayne.
That sounds very John Wayne. I did really like this one. I think emotionally this one actually hit me pretty hard was, when you give a lesson in meanness to a critter or a person, don't be surprised if they learn their lesson. And that to me is so true. When you're lacking patience and you go to the barn, don't take it out on your horse. You need to go to your horse clean, conscious. Don't get mad at your dog. I probably should apologize to my cat, Frank, after reading this, because I think I've been a little mean to him recently because he's annoying the hell out of me. But if I'm mean to him, he's just going to be mean back to me. So we start that mean relationship. We need to just don't be mean. Just be a nice person.
Yeah, in the cycle. Just be nice.
Exactly. Don't facilitate the cycle. Just end it. I do like that one. You can find that at horsenation.com. Now, the one that I really liked was the one that came from an Eventing Nation, and I actually was going to talk about it Friday but never got to it. And this is the top 10 reasons why your horse is actually your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go through some of those?
Yeah, I think that's something that we can all relate to. You know, some days I'm like, you know, I sure like horses better than I like people. not all the time, but you know. One of the readers, one of the newest writers over at Eventing Nation, our sister site, Sally Spickard, put together a top 10 list of reasons why your horse is actually your best friend. Let's see. Those big fuzzy ears sure are good for listening. Isn't that the truth? You know, they don't look that they have a choice, but they listen. They don't judge. You know, you can tell them anything. I mean, how many people in your life can you feel like you can tell them anything and be absolutely sure that it doesn't go any further than them? You know, that's a pretty rare quality.
Well, there's only one place you can actually say something that you know it will go nowhere, and that is to your horse's big fuzzy ears. So let that be a lesson to you.
That's right. let's see. You know, working with horses instills a strong work ethic. That's so true.
Number four is incredibly true, and we were just talking about buying horses. Horses make the perfect shopping outlet, and she nails it. Retail therapy has never been so true. She says that you can get enough stud muffins to feed a cavalry, or you buy curry combs. I mean, how many curry combs does one person need? I have like 27, because every time I see a new type, I'm like, oh, I should get that. I should try that.
So true. You cannot have enough horse stuff.
Yeah, you can. And it always makes you feel better. Like being pregnant, having kind of not the horse connection or the horse outlet that I've really wanted, because I haven't been able to compete and go to places, I would go online shopping. And Amazon.com became my friend with horse stuff. So I totally get it. Even if you're shopping online, it is still retail therapy. It's really awesome because it's double retail therapy, because you buy it and then it comes in the mail. So it's like twice you get the retail high.
It's so easy. You just click add to cart.
Exactly. And it's not like real money, because you don't even have to touch your credit card, because if you're like me, you've got your credit card number memorized.
Or it's already in there still from the last purchase you made from them.
And Amazon, you just click on the credit card, and it's, like, right there. Yeah, it's super easy.
I like number six, best friends don't judge when you're not looking your best. And, you know, I think that we can all relate to that. We all, you know, horses don't care. You're stinky, you're dirty. They don't care. They just care if you've got carrot in your pocket, you know?
I love how she wrote, it's a good feeling, really, knowing that while I may end up on People of Walmart if I were to set foot in public, I can confidently drive into the barn. It's a non-judging bubble. So true. People of Walmart could have taken photos of me recently. It would be embarrassing, but I would be on People of Walmart. But yes, you go to the barn and that's just normal attire.
Oh, goodness. Let's see. Horses instill confidence. Horses teach patience. And they pick you up when you're down.
That's yeah.
Absolutely.
All of those things are very, very true. Now, before we run out of time, where do you come up with this stuff, Leslie Wiley? Where do you come up with creative ideas for horse manure recycling? How does an article like that come into play?
I got a lot of time on my hands. I got a demented sort of sense of humor.
I guess so.
You would be amazed with all the amazing things that you run across online when you're just Googling horse stuff all day long. such as, well, I think this started with, I found a business for a woman who has a business called Dung Bunnies. And she takes horse manure. She composts it, adds water. You know, she composts it, I think, for like 2 years, adds water, makes it into a manure slush, lets it dry out, and then puts it into a mold, and it shapes it into, I mean, she's got ducks, pigeons, frogs, squirrels, snails, cats, all sculpted from horse manure that you can put in your garden. And it's kind of brilliant because as the sculptures decompose, you know, then they fertilize your garden. That's kind of neat, right? Kind of
yeah,
gross.
And I appreciate the fact that, you know, it slowly as the sprinklers hit it or the rain hits it, it starts to turn into a poo bunny mush and fertilize your garden. But let's not put aside the fact that she is sculpting poop.
Yes.
Right in your face, just balling it up. Imagine sitting there at the table like, okay, kids, come on over. Okay, we're going to make bunny rabbits. Take this poop and sculpt it.
Yes, and that people are paying her for poop, basically.
She's a genius, but she still has to sculpt poop. Now, what I didn't know was there's a line of greeting cards that are made up out of poop.
Yes, it's called poo-poo paper, obviously.
Obviously.
They make a variety of paper products, napkins, stationery, notepads, letterhead. I guess it's not a new thing. I guess paper makers in Asia have been making paper out of manure, I guess elephant manure, for a long time. Because it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because manure is really high fiber, right? So, and paper is fibrous, right? So, and there's actually, if you're interested in making, if you're interested in this process, I actually found an article on ehow.com. It's like a 20-step guide to making your own paper out of poop. If that doesn't sound super appealing to you, you can just buy poop paper from this company, Poo Poo Paper. really appreciated. They have this fantastic line of greeting cards that have things like sayings on the front, like "For your birthday, a really crappy card. Life is a crapshoot. Happy Mother's Day," and it doesn't say anything. I think that's hilarious. It's like your own little secret. You don't tell your mother, you know. Like, "Hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day." And she'll never know that you just gave her manure.
A poop card.
Well,
these are really funny. Well, go ahead. Read the Valentine's Day card.
Oh, yeah. "Roses are red, violets are blue. This lovely Valentine." What do you think comes next? "Is made of doo-doo."
It is too fun. The last one, of course, somebody takes pictures of poo and then sells it for big money. I guess, you know, something's only worth what somebody will pay for it. So I guess somebody is buying horse poo pictures. I wouldn't put that on my wall, but I'm glad some rich person somewhere has the money and time to do that. So there you go. That was unbelievable.
That's right.
Well, anything you're working on this week, Leslie, before we let you go?
Oh, my goodness. I just never know when I wake up in the morning what's going to happen on Horse Nation that day. It's just so long for the ride.
Yeah, but
so.
You guys have a lot of contests that you do on your page sometimes. So any contests in the works that I can try to win again?
When we do, you'll be the first one to know.
Thank you, because I still represent with my HorseNation.com helmet, the American flag helmet that I won off your website, and it's funny because I only wear it for cross country because it totally goes with my outfit, and what's awesome is that if anybody else walks by that has any sort of stars and stripes on their helmet, we give each other, like, that sign the motorcycle drivers give each other when they, like, pass each other. We give them, like, the two fingers out. We're like, "Sup. We got the helmet. Stars and stripes." It's like, it's a quiet, unspoken communication that happens with people that have American flag type stuff on their helmet. We're just kind of down with each other. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So try it out. See what happens, Leslie. See if you can, you know, maybe win one on your site, and then you'll be cool too.
Maybe.
One could hope. Well, again, horsenation.com is where you can find all of these lists. And thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay.
Oh, no, 2 weeks from now, because it's a holiday.
Well, have a great week.
Thank you. You too, and enjoy your day off.
Yes.
All right. Bye. Now, at some point during that conversation, Glenn sent me a text message that says, "Ew," very, very long and wordy. Jennifer, I'm guessing that's on the poop sculpture topic. Most likely, because I doubt if it was about the cowboy wisdom. No, probably not. Not the horse. He probably tuned out for that and why your horse is your best friend. But we talk about poop, he perks up. He's all about the poop. He's a slinger. I don't think you guys mentioned my favorite one, which was about the a smart ass just doesn't fit in a saddle. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I did like that one. I did like that one as well. Again, we had to save a little bit for the readers.
So horsenation.com, top things we could learn from cowboys. And they're all those clever pictures with the captions. And so that's actually a picture of a saddle. It's a really good one. So you can check those out. Again, horsenation.com. And Jennifer, any news stories before we try to get out of here?
Well, they had the test event for driving. As our listeners know, they've been running all of the test events for the World Equestrian Games in Normandy next year. And the test event is really there to test the infrastructure, not to really test the horses themselves. And they did,
right.
They have to have all sorts of superstructures there. And Chester Weber once again comes out on top. When is he going to stop winning? Nobody knows. But they had 12 teams competing, and Chester Weber came out up on top, and he had nothing but wonderful things to say about the venue. So things are looking up for Normandy.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, of course he's going to win. I mean, he's Chester West.
What doesn't he win? Yeah. 200 volunteers to make this thing, pull this thing off. 200 for one combined driving event with a mere schmear 12 competitors. That's crazy.
Wow. Wow, that's cool. Hey, Sheila Johnson, I don't know if you've heard of her. Sheila Johnson just opened up a new riding resort on 340 acres of Virginia wine country. You can taste wine. You can go riding. It's 340 acres. They've got a 23,000 square foot spa, full service equestrian center. Now, she has money. And she's worth, let's see, reportedly $400 million. $400 million. Have you heard the name Sheila Johnson before?
Nope.
No. She is actually entertainment mogul Sheila Johnson that is currently working on a project with Oprah. And Sheila Johnson also was the founder of BET, Black Entertainment TV. The founder... She is into horses. I had no idea that she is also not only into horses, she's a socialite. So if you were to go to the resort and stay in the spacious living areas, the one night stay is between $350 and $425. You've got a canopy bed, a pedestal soaking tub, 40-inch flat screen TV in your room. Each of the four floors of the hotel has different themes, and they're themed by seasons, summer, spring, winter, fall. The guest room features photography taken by her that reflects the corresponding time of year. This place is impeccable. It is so incredible. It looks like it should be in like the hills of England. It's called Salamander Resort, which... Salamander Resort is kind of a strange name for it, I would think. But
yeah.
Salamander, full-service equestrian center. You can take riding lessons, jumping lessons, and polo lessons. Right, 22 stalls, miles and miles of trails. You can even bring your own horse, Jennifer. You can take Beaker.
Beaker and I could stay at the $425 a night hotel. That would be awesome.
Yes, and also, you and Beaker, once you got done with your ride, you can go to the indoor pool, you can do the cardio and weight room, hit that, or I know that you and Glenn would be first in line for the yoga and Tai Chi classes.
I always wanted to do that.
So, again, that is Salamander.
Could they have come up with a better name, Salamander? Slimy little creepy crawly thing?
I think it's spelled differently, so clearly it's a different kind of salamander. But they do let you know that Jackie Kennedy used to ride horses on the land that Salamander Resort sits. So if you want any more information on that, Google it, because I don't have it, because I'm not going. I'm never going to this wine country through the 40-acre resort. But anything else, you can contact us on Facebook. Do you have any more information for us, Jennifer?
That's it. Fort Pitt. We're out of here.
I think so. So, everybody, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, spay, neuter, and yell. Let's see if Bunk can put... He did. He's still listening.
He hit the button. He's right on. Download our app, people. Go to the iTunes store.